Psalm 112. And I'll ask you to stand. In Psalm 112, and in verse 1 it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endured forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affair with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. He had dispersed. He had given to the poor. His righteousness endured forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning as we gather in your house. And we meet again, Lord, to honor you and come because of you. But we do want to take this morning to honor those who are fathers, as you remind us of that awful, immense responsibility of being called a father. And so we ask, Lord, that you give us understanding and that you remind us of our God-given roles as fathers before you. And thus we ask these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to speak this morning on the subject of the importance of being a consistent father. The importance of being a consistent father. And so we would like to address those of you who are fathers. Again, as we look to God this morning, we gather, as always, to glorify him first and foremost, to honor God. But again, we are commanded in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, by God to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so we seek to glorify God this morning in speaking to fathers by again reminding them of their God-given role, the responsibilities of being a father. No doubt it is huge, it is immense, it is a fearful responsibility to be a father, and so sad that so many take it lightly. We need to understand anybody can be a biological father, but it takes a special person to be a daddy to their children. It also takes the grace and guidance of God to be a godly father who will undertake their responsibility in raising their children in this sinful and dark, wicked society by raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers must be an influence, yea, a godly influence to his family, to his wife, to his children, yea, even to this generation. We need to remind ourselves often of this great responsibility to the generation in which we live. God will judge us. We will have to answer to God for the generation in which we live. Again, our subject this morning surrounds the importance of the high calling of fatherhood. And I say this only because everybody basically understands the role of the mother. It is pretty well recognized by everyone, including the secular world, of the mother and the important and vital function she has to the family. But it seems as though the function and the leadership of fatherhood has taken a back seat in its role, even to the point of, at times, being relegated to the position of a second-class citizen, especially with the active feminine movement in our day. I will confess, it is sad to see when men become lazy. And sadder still, they become passive, and then they turn over the reign of leadership to the wife, where God has given us that role. And in their laziness, they turn it over to the mother. And no doubt this has affected society, but sadder still, it also has affected the church. And so I want to remind you again that the church is only as strong as the family. And therefore, as that saying goes, as goes the home, goes the church, as goes society. In other words, weak family means you have a weak church, therefore means that you have a weak society. Again, God has given us that immense role, and may God grace us, grace men who are fathers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up that mantle and leadership to lead our families in our God-given role. Again, both fathers and mothers are very important, needful influences of the home, crucial to the spiritual and psychological and emotional stability of the home. And so when we have these two roles of fatherhood and motherhood, when they're blended together spiritually and emotionally in submission to God's word, seeking to be godly parents without question, no doubt this is very powerful and inviting. It's going to be vital in shaping spiritually and psychologically healthy children in society. But when this is missing, it brings havoc in the home, in the church, and in society. Therefore, fathers, I hope you see the importance of your God-given role to be a godly and spiritual father. And I understand that only by God's grace we can do this. Thus, we'd like to speak this morning again on the importance of being a consistent father in a broken world. God has given man a lot of instruction regarding to being godly parents. We see this in the Bible. To be a godly father, we must have, first of all, a personal walk with God. We must have bowed the knee to Christ and own Him as our Lord. And I will say this, that only those that are saved by grace, only those fathers, only them and them alone can be godly fathers. May God be pleased to teach us something of this morning, that we all, I include myself as I speak to you, that we can be consistent godly fathers. Now, by speaking on the subject consistent fathers, I'm not saying perfect fathers. I'm not saying faultless fathers. I'm not saying flawless fathers. No, I'm not talking about the complete father. What I'm talking about, a father being consistent in his leadership role in the house as given to us by God. Again, just because one who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and is a father and also seeks to be consistent doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they're without sin. Doesn't mean they're without fault. No, that's not what we're talking about. But we want to strive to be godly fathers, to fulfill the role that God has given us. And the essence of consistency, whether we're fathers, mothers, or singles in the Lord, should that not be our Christian walk, that we should be consistent Christians? And I say this because if we're honest with ourselves and we look into the depths of our hearts, we see a lot of inconsistencies in our lives. The dictionary defines the word consistent as possessing firmness, coherence, which is marked by harmony, regularity, a steady continuity, having or possessing firmness, steady conformity to character, profession, belief, and or to custom. Words that might be synonymous with consistent are reliable, steady, dependable, and constant. And I know that these words can show us how inconsistent we really are, but it doesn't mean that we roll over and die either. No, it should motivate us to be the father that God has called us to be. And so may God grace us to be consistent in every aspect of our Christian walk. But this morning, I am speaking to fathers, speaking to myself. Seven things I want to share with you quickly. A consistent father, number one, is a man who has conviction. Verse 1. A consistent father is a man who honors his children in verse 2. Thirdly, a man who has character in verse 3. Fourthly, a man who has compassion in verse 4. Fifthly, a man who has charity in verse 5. Sixthly, a man that has confidence, and we see this in verses 6 through 7. And then a man, seventhly, who has commitment in verse 9. First of all, a consistent father is a man that has conviction. Again, in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth God and delighted greatly in his commandments." And so the first thing we see about a consistent father is that he is blessed. He is a blessed man. And we already interpreted that for you many times, but the aspect of the word blessed means happy. Blessed is the man. But this man is also defined further as being one who what? Why is he blessed? Because he fears God. Blessed is the man that fears God. And then he also delights himself in God's word. What a glorious description of a godly man, yea, a godly father. Because a father ought to fear God and follow the commandments of God. In Romans 4, you don't have to turn there. Paul speaks about that man that has peace with God. When he says, even as David also described it, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, a true blessed man has peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And those two things that are associated with that blessed man, as we have seen, a blessed man fears God, and a blessed man is one who delights in the Word of God. Here are two important components or elements of being a consistent father. Fear God and keep His commandments. My dear ones, you cannot go wrong in following this format. This, my dear sirs, also takes conviction. And that's one of the things that, Father, that you need to demonstrate to your children, the essence of great conviction to your gods. A man with a godly conviction, I can assure you without a shadow of a doubt, is the man that fears God and delights in His Word. And this type of conviction, no doubt, is cemented in faith, in hope, in trusting God. Again, notice this man that fears God, again it says that he delights greatly in the commandments of God. Doesn't that sound glorious? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted not just a little bit, not just sometime, but delights greatly in His commandments. Delights greatly in His commandment. And I can't help it, but this brings us right back to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of his God. That's the blessed man. And this is the man that is described here. And this type of man, if he happens to be a father, he is a godly father who has great conviction. This is a man with godly conviction. And again, fathers, in order to have that conviction, you must fear God and delight in His Word. No doubt that to delight in God's Word means it can be equated with loving, desiring to keep God's Word. As a matter of fact, this is a basic truth that is demanded of all men and of all women, of everybody in the world. Because Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? Fear God! No, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. So I'm not speaking to you anything new, but sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. But then how much more to those who are fathers? Fathers. What a needful ingredient to be a godly father with great conviction, fearing God and keeping His commandment. Therefore, we can say without a shadow of a doubt that the father that fears God and delights in His commandment is a consistent father and a man with great conviction. Secondly, a consistent father is one who honors his children. Verse 2 again, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The second thing we see about the consistent father is that He will honor, I believe, his children. I know, again, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, we're told, honor your fathers, honor your mothers, and we must do that. But there's a sense also where I believe that fathers can also honor their children. It can be reciprocal. And what I mean by this is that father can honor their children by telling them about God, instructing them in God's word. Again, the first part of verse 2 says that his seed might be mighty upon the earth. That is, if a father seeks to leave behind some sort of blessing to the children, leave them something spiritual. Because we always look at it in the aspect of money. You know, what kind of inheritance is my daddy going to leave me? The best inheritance you can leave to your children is a spiritual inheritance. Because all the silver, all the gold, all the money, all of that will burn up. So, and be wasted and spent. But that which is spiritual is eternal. Is eternal. And I'm not saying it's wrong to leave a monetaristic inheritance. That is good too. But first and foremost, let it be a spiritual inheritance. Because do not imagine for one moment that just leaving them the riches of money and silver or gold will help them. Yes, it can help. Money makes life easier. We understand that. But no. Money can help you when you're going through a very hard time. Money can help you when you're very, very sick. Money can help you when the doctor says you're going to die. Money can help you when your wife leaves you. Money can help you if your husband leaves you. Money can help you. You think about all those things. You're hurting inside. There's pain. What you need is God to help you. And that's what we need to teach our children, that we must go to God first. Money is important. And there's nothing wrong with money, because the Bible says that money is not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. It's that awful greed in the heart. Man has taken everything that God has given us and made it sinful, which includes money. But that spiritual inheritance, that your children not would be mighty financially, but they would be mighty spiritually. Planting the seed early in your children in the ways of God. So therefore, we can make the application, I believe, of that literal application of 3 John 1-4 when it says, "For I believe a godly father with conviction hath great joy to say the words of the Apostle John, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." Not so much that my children be mighty in riches. Not so much that my children be mighty in strength. Not so much that my children be mighty in wisdom. No. But that my children would be mighty in the truth of God, in the scriptures. Psalm 127, 3 and 4. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of his youth. Here's a man who is concerned about the succeeding generation that will follow, which is the intention of the next phrase of verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Because the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And the only way that the succeeding generation can be blessed in such a manner is by that continual teaching and instruction in the Word of God. And again, this takes conviction and it takes commitment to undertake this. I love what Spurgeon says here. He says, quote, "That is to say, successive generations to God, fearing men, shall be strong and influential in society, and in the latter days they shall have dominion. The true seed of the righteous are those who follow them in their virtues, even as believers are the seed of Abraham because they imitate his faith, and these are the real heroes of the era. The truly great men among the sons of Adam, their lives are sublime, and their power upon their age is greater far than sight first appears," unquote. You see, there is a way, fathers, that you can honor your children. You can honor your children by blessing them and introducing them to the living and true God. You can honor your children by giving them God's word. You can honor your children by taking them to church. You can honor your children by teaching them to respect authority so they can live a civil and respectable life, so they can be honorable and ethical people in conduct in society. And thus, a consistent father is one who honors his children. And then thirdly, a consistent father is a man who has character. Verse 3 again. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. You notice that the wealth and riches, nothing was said about that enduring forever. But his character of righteousness endured forever. In other words, the consistent spiritual father has character. And the important point I believe the psalmist is making here, that the spiritual father, excuse me, that has character, wealth and riches will not affect his character. Why? Because a spiritual man does not set his eyes and his heart upon riches, but upon his God, upon the God of his salvation. And the reason for this is because those spiritual riches in the heart is that which affects the character for the good. For example, in Psalm 37:16, it says, a little that a righteous man had is better than the riches of the many wicked. But look at the opposite. Psalm 52:7. Lo, this is a man that made not his God strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. But David says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And you see that back and forth in the scriptures. And then in the parable, remember, of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 13. Remember, he reminds us, well, you sowed the seed, but what happens? He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Riches is good if you know how to deal with them and it doesn't affect your character. But so sad that most of us don't understand it unless we're spiritual. What is more important, I believe, are the riches of God's grace, where the Bible does say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, spiritual riches is what is needed in our homes. And the end result is, again, his righteousness shall endure forever. Again, one of those favorite passages in the Bible that we all know, and I love to read over and over and just quote it and just ask God to put it in my heart. We're very familiar with this in Joshua 24:14-15, which says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, a consistent father is one who is interested in the truth of the Most High God. In order to serve him, I rightly, dear, this, my dear ones, is a father that is consistent and that has character. Fourthly, a consistent father is a man that has compassion. Unto the upright, verse 4, there ariseth light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You see, the consistent spiritual father has character. And again, as we said, riches will not affect his character. Why? Because his heart is not set upon riches, but upon the God of his salvation. And the reason for this, if we've seen, is because of the spiritual riches would dwell in his heart, which affect his character for the good. A man that has the light of God in his soul has to be a man that is gracious and full of compassion. He knows what it means to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, that is the kingdom of light. That's what true salvation is. See, a lot of people just have a lip service salvation. They just profess salvation without possessing Christ truly. But when you understand where God took you from that awful darkness, and he put you into his kingdom of light, that utterly just blows the mind and the heart, and you know what God did for you. And so now you live this life of immense gratitude because God could have left you there in your sins. There are going to be a lot of rich people in hell, but there'll be a lot of poor people in hell too. The whole idea, God has done something for me. And if he's done something for me, to acknowledge that and live in that way. And if God is taking you from darkness into light, we ought to be people, fathers of compassion and mercy. Because a consistent father knows what it means to be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We grow in the grace and knowledge in our God, as we heard at the end of our Sunday school study this morning. And in Psalm 36, 9 it says, "For with thee," speaking of God, "is the fountain of life. In thy light we see light." Remember David would say, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple." And this is why David said that to the upright there riseth light in darkness. Unto the upright there riseth light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. There riseth light in darkness. Because this man, this godly man, understands what God has done for his soul. And he knows that even in all his troubles and in the darkness of his trails, a safe person does not lose sight of the importance of being gracious and compassionate, yea, merciful. Because when God saves a sinner, God takes that sinner, makes him upright and righteous and holy. And therefore, the upright, consistent father is gracious, is merciful, and full of compassion. Remember when David was describing God in Psalm 86? What does David say in Psalm 86, 15? "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Isn't what David says of this man right here in Psalm 112? But speaking of God, "God, thou art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth." But David says, this is the same thing for the man in Psalm 112 and verse 4. "Unto the upright there riseth light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Why? Because a true, consistent father, no doubt, is a man that has compassion. Compassion in others. Why? Because compassion has been shown to him at salvation. He is not a little compassionate, somewhat compassionate. No, David says here that he is full of compassion. Have you heard me say this often? It's a very important guide that's helped me in my everyday life. And it has, really. You've heard me say this once. I've said it 1,000 times. You can probably quote it already. If I'm going to err, I want to err in mercy. Because I want to be a man full of compassion. It's too easy to be ugly. It's too easy just to lose your temper with somebody and start calling them names and throwing this, this, and that. My goodness. What about being compassionate? What about mercy? And we can use all the excuses. Well, this, well, that. We don't know what they do to me, what they don't do, whatever. No, 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 no. I don't care what your excuses are. Your duty is to be full of compassion. Because at the end of the day, you better hope that you erred in mercy. It's too easy again to judge others. And I understand. I know I'm a human being just like you. It is hard to forgive those who have hurt you tremendously. Those who have wronged you. Those who have mistreated you. But remember, fathers, your wife is watching you. Your children are watching you. What will your children say of you? Will your children say, "My dad was compassionate. My dad was merciful. But they say, man, my dad was mean. My dad was ugly. How will your children remember you as a father? Being revengeful? Having a hard tongue? That always just putting people down? A complainer? A murmurer? Or being gracious and full of compassion? One of my favorite pastors and a dear brother, and I keep telling my wife, hopefully this September I'll go back to his church in Mena, Arkansas, Brother Overheath. There's only one word to describe Brother Orville. You ever get around him? Gentleman. You open the dictionary and you look up the word gentleman, it says Orville Heath. This sweet man. Love this man. Orville Heath. Such a sweet gentleman. A loving man. I said, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Orville Heath. I want to be a man who forgives, compassionate, loving. It's too easy to just to retain hatred for others, to be revengeful. Oh, no, 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 no. No. We must be full of compassion. I mean, does this mean that we have to be close with everybody and loving them? No, 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 no. You can pick and choose your friend, but be gracious. Be civil. Be compassionate to others. And this is why I say a consistent father is a man who is full of compassion. Quickly and fifthly, a consistent father is a man who also has charity. Verse 5, it says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. You see, a consistent father is a good man that shows favor, lends to those in need, and seeks to guide his affairs of life with some holy discretion. And no, we're not perfect. I love to live by a proverb that the Lord taught me many, many, many years ago, about 30, 35 years ago. I remember reading it and rereading it and studying it out, and it was a blessing. I remember I even brought a sermon back in the 80s at Community Baptist Church in Proverbs 3:27. It is such a simple application that is applicable to all of us in all our life. And I've tried the best to practice this in all these years since when God quickened that verse to my heart, when God gave me understanding to that verse. In Proverbs 3:27 it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. What a good principle to live by. This is something good to be implemented into your life. That we are commanded not to withhold good from them, especially when it is in our power to be able to dispense goodness to somebody else. You see, charity is that which springs from the heart, and it should lead us to show favor, especially to those in need. Because it follows there in Proverbs 3, in verses 28 and 29, say not unto the neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it beside thee. Verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, but he dwelleth securely by thee. In other words, it teaches us to be good neighbors. But then, surely we got to ask the question, who is our neighbor? Well, everybody is our neighbor. If you name the name of Christ, everybody's your neighbor. If we name the name of Christ, my dear ones, we have to be merciful, nice, helpful, willing to share, willing to help, to be honest, to be humble. It's too easy to be rude. It's too easy to say, I don't have time. It's too easy to just be downright ugly and selfish. Remember the person, and I don't have time to go to it, but if the opportunity, you go read it there in Luke 10. Remember the person that wanted to justify themselves before Christ? When he told Christ, well, Lord, who is my neighbor? Remember that they purposely crossed the street when they came to that man that was beat up? It says, at the end of the story, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came from where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. In verses 31 and 32, right prior to this, one who was a priest and the other religious person, they passed by him twice. Why? Did he want to be bothered? I'm too busy, don't bother me. I can't help you. Go get somebody else. We got to have charity, my dear ones. A Samaritan came by and he had compassion upon him. The conclusion of the story is this, in verses 36 and 37. Christ turns the question around and he asks him, now of these three, thinkest thou, who was neighbor to him who fell among the thief? And he says, he that showed mercy. Then said Jesus unto them, go and do thou likewise. That is the message to all of us, especially you who are fathers, you children that are watching you. Go and do likewise. It's not going to help you. It's not going to hurt you to stop and help somebody that might have a flat. I don't know. What an opportunity to share the gospel. I understand if you're busy, you got to go to work. I understand those things. But if you had the time just to help somebody, you okay? You need help? What is it going to hurt you? Or, you know, when you're entering or coming out of the store, there's always people there. Can you have money? I said, what do you need the money for? I'm hungry. Meet me right there and I'll go buy you. And I tell him, what do you want to buy? What do you want? No, give him a large Coke. Give him a triple ham, triple size hamburger, whatever he wants. Largest fries. Yeah, it took 15, 20 minutes to get over there, but you know what? Go and do thou likewise. Having compassion. Showing charity. Goodness to others. Helping others. And so by showing compassion, being gracious, show mercy. And all of this falls under the title of charity. So fathers, display your affairs in life by a discretion centered and cemented in charity. Sickly and quickly. A consistent father is a man who has confidence. Verses 6 through 8, it says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Again, here's a man whose heart, it is fixed upon God. Here's a man of faith, a man of hope, a man trusting wholly upon his God. And no matter what comes upon him, no matter what trial, what situation, what pitfall, he says he shall not be moved. He will not be afraid. Why? Because of his confidence. That's what trust is. To have confidence in God. And a godly father must have confidence and trust in God. So your children can see you. What is the worst thing a parent can do in any circumstance? Panic! To panic! They're being calm and deal with the situation. Doesn't mean your heart not beating 100 miles an hour and there's anxiety. But when you panic, you're gonna scare the children, you're gonna scare your wife, you're gonna scare everybody. And I know that's hard. That's very hard when there's a situation that arises. But have confidence in God. Trust in God. I'm gonna make a statement, and I don't make the statement to be uglier than me, but it's just to make a point. You know, and I'll pray for anybody. Lady asked me to pray for a dog. I said, I guess I'll pray for your dog. You know, my goodness. I was going to say something, that better not. But anyway, just taking the time. Taking the time. Trusting God. Having confidence in Him. No matter what happens. No matter the situation. Because again, as I said, we all can panic at a moment's notice, something that happened, but the importance of being steadfast, established, trusting in God. Look at all those words that David uses. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in God. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. And only a man that has confidence in God can live like that. And it's hard at times, and I understand that. But all my point is that your wife, your children need to see that confidence, that you're steadfast and you're not waffling back and forth. Okay? Again, even when you get bad news, don't be afraid. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. So I was going to say earlier, you know, I don't say this to be mean, but when people come and say, Pastor Joe, can you pray for me? I said, yes. And I would go, have you taken it to God first? Take it to God first and then come and talk with me. I'm just a man. I'm nobody. What you need to do is go to God first. And then after you have gone to God, prayed with God, seek the Lord, then we ask the prayers of others. But don't ask the prayers of others if you don't go to God first. That means you're not trusting God, you're trusting people. This is why Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must look to Him first. And there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray, but pray to God first. Look to Him first. Trust in God first, that you might be established, cemented in faith, looking to God. Looking to God with great confidence, especially being a godly father, to be steadfast, unmovable, that we can say like Job of old, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin. That's hard. How many of us would have sinned? I include myself there. That's why, how many of us? I didn't say you. How many of us would have sinned? Getting mad and angry with God. How could you do this to me, God? Instead of submitting to His providence. Some things are hard. Do you think providence always smiles? Sometimes providence is upside down. It's got to teach us and to show us. I don't understand things like that. But then our hearts also need to be fixed like Moses. Remember by the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were closing upon them, and he declared to them with great confidence. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And that's the whole essence of being confident, that you can hold your peace as you come before God. I think of the three Hebrew children. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. I think of these things, how they were unshakable, unmovable, fearless. Why? Because they had great confidence in trusting God. How? Because their hearts were fixed upon God. What is your heart fixed on? Is your heart fixed on the Washington Redskins? Is your heart fixed on the Dallas Cowboys? Is your heart fixed on the San Antonio Spurs? Is your heart fixed on fill in the blank? What is your heart fixed on? It better be fixed on God. Fathers, you must have this confidence and not be afraid or ashamed to display it before your children. Again, he shall not be moved. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, because his heart is trusting in God. Verse 8, his heart is established. Fathers, your hearts has to be established. And the confidence is seen in the spiritual progress that the heart is established upon God, so that we will not be afraid. In other words, no matter what news we hear, our faith will not be diminished or shrink or move. Why? Because my confidence is in God. I won't even go to Psalm 71. You should know what it says there because we sing it. Nonetheless, a consistent father is a man who has confidence. And lastly and quickly, a consistent father is one who has commitment. Verse 12, he shall disperse excuse me, verse 9. He had dispersed, he had given to the poor, his righteousness endured forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. Again, this is a man that is committed to his God. This is shown in his actions. In other words, what he has received, again, he turns around and he gives to others, as in the prior point. God gives us compassion, give it to others. God gives us mercy, give it to others. God gave us love and charity, give it to others. Those who are poor and needy. Again, not so much in those physical and material needs, which is also important at the time, but also I'm speaking about spiritual things. Again, you know, when I do help the poor and give them food, and very seldom do I give them money, but sometimes I do. But I always remind them, and I tell them, this money, this food, it's going to run out, and then what? You better seek the Lord, you better seek Christ, because everlasting life never runs out. It is eternal, it's forever. What I give you, it's going to run out. It's going to be gone. But what you need, that is what endures forever, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can even use that for a, you know, witness to somebody who needs help. I didn't know this, but back 35 years ago, I didn't know God was going to use this to prepare me to ministry, even before I met my wife. I used to preach at the rescue mission. Had no clue God was going to prepare me. Had no interest in the ministry back then, anything like that. They just asked me, hey, Joe, you like to talk about the Bible? Would you like to speak to some men? Of course, I didn't know what it was. Then I realized when I got there, it was a bunch of men. And they had no place to go. And it was a ministry, the rescue mission. And they would give them a bed to sleep on, and they would feed them. But before they were fed, they had to sit and hear the Word of God preached. I used to love that. Preach to them almost a whole hour. You thought it was hard now, huh? Preach to them a whole hour about the Word of God and what God, the importance of salvation. And then they would feed them. Okay, so when you give food or money to somebody, use it as a means to also witness to them. Not just, okay, well, here, my goodness, stop. I don't even have a dollar. Here, go back. I don't have time. No, give them a track. I invite all people to church. I don't care who they are, what they look like. Come visit us at our church. Helping others. Again, not so much the physical need, but the need for the soul. And I think that the committed father disperses what he gives to the poor, which also includes the gospel. The gospel. I'm amazed that in this one psalm, four times, in verses 3, 4, 6, and 9, David speaks of the righteousness of this man. A remarkable application to the godly man's righteousness. And notice the last two times, it speaks of that righteousness will endure forever. In other words, it speaks of this man that we just are talking about, who has conviction, honors his children, has character, compassion, charity, confident commitment. Here is a man who is not double-minded. That his actions are not just for the moment, but his way of life flows from that settled and fixed commitment to his God. Therefore, his integrity is maintained. He's not turned about by his friends to follow an evil path. He's not affected by the compromising of others. Again, Psalms 1. No, he is resolute. He is determined. He is immovable. Yea, his heart is fixed upon God. And this is why David says that his horn shall be exalted in honor. And God will do that. Even as others, it says there in verse 10, they would mock and speak to him ugly things. Oh, no, 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 no. God will still honor you when it's all said and done. But these are the things that we have to do if we're going to be godly men, godly fathers, leaders of our homes. We must be committed to the things of God. Committed to what God has given us in his word. Conclude with this particular proverb that I hope it speaks of some of you godly fathers this morning. Again, on the importance of being consistent in our walk before God and before man. In Proverbs 26:20 and verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Who can find a faithful man? You can only find him if he does what is told here in Psalm 12 and the other things in the scripture. And so may God help us to be the father he has called us to be, which include fathers who have conviction, fathers who honor their children, fathers who have character, fathers who have compassion, fathers who have charity, fathers who have confidence, and fathers who have commitment. And so fathers, seek to do this, to please God, not to please men, not to please your wife or your children, and doing those things. No, you do them first and foremost to please God, to be a testimony to your wife and to your children. No, again, we're not talking about perfection. We all come short. But being a consistent father in following God. And so may God grace us and bless us to be such fathers and to understand that without God, not one of us can be consistent. I'd like to end quickly with a poem that I've written a couple years ago, I believe, for Father's Day. From Joshua 24:15, it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As God's creation began to unfold, be fruitful and multiply, they were told. Adam will become the first father, and Eve will become the first mother. Little did Adam realize of that awful responsibility regarding a father's duty and accountability. Called by God to be godly fathers and leaders by teaching our children to be Bible readers. So fathers, as you seek to do that which is right, do not neglect God's instruction or take it light. Pray to God to help train our children in His ways so that it be kept in their hearts all their days. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We must instruct them in God's word. Nurture them in the Lord's admonition. As fathers, we must have this conviction. When they arise in the morning or when they lie down in the evening, when they sit down and walk by the way, we must do this for them every day. The importance of Bible family devotion. By God's grace, we must set this in motion. We must not neglect their responsibility and look to God in faith for this ability. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, we point them to the Lord as much as we can. Happy is the man that had his quiver full, teaching their children that God does rule. His wife shall be a fruitful vine by his side. As husband and wife, they confide in what God has done in their life, in what God in their lives has done, giving us children as the family's begun. Our prayers is that the next generation be established on a spiritual foundation to carry the torch with a burning affection, for this is our hope and expectation. We trust our God to fulfill our desire and burn in our children that holy fire. They will continue for many years to come and never forget where God brought us from. O God, keep us by thy grace so that we can watch and observe to remind our children that for me and my house, the Lord we will serve. So fathers, for all you have done and seek to do, we wish you today that God will bless you with a glorious and happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, as we said, if we all are honest with ourselves, we see our inconsistency as a parent, as a child, sometimes even as an employer. But nonetheless, in every facet of life, no matter how inconsistent we are, we don't roll over and give up. So help us to understand that even in our Christian walk, even when sin might get the best of us, even when we go through dark times, help us through it all that our hearts will be fixed upon thee, O God, that our faith and hope will be cemented upon the God whom we serve. And so God, you have given fathers a tremendous responsibility. And so we ask for thy grace to help us to do that which is right in thine eyes, and help us to have that conviction, that character, that heart, that love, that charity, all those things that are needful, that we would be a caring and loving father to our wives and to our children. And so, God, we ask these things and ask your help in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.